Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You might be an entrepreneur. You might be someone who actually wants to produce goods, right? But what does that mean when it comes to South Africa's manufacturing sector? One that provides significant growth to our economy, not only in terms of our GDP print, but when it comes to employment opportunities. Well, there's a fund that has been established to help accelerate industrialization in South Africa with key targeted research and strategic interventions to help businesses scale, innovate, and integrate into global markets. To tell us more about this, we're joined by the CEO of the Localization Support Fund, Arshad Kaptrada, joining us tonight. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Arshad. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Gugu. Thanks for having me again, and good evening to you and your listeners.
I'm excited to speak to you. The last time we touched base with you, there was a lot of anxiety around local manufacturers exporting to the global market, Trump, the tariff trade wars, and where we are now. But maybe if we can just get a brief overview, you know, on the level of support that the LSF does provide for entrepreneurs in this nature before we actually deep dive into how you get it done. What has life been like post-April and the Liberation Day tariffs? Are South African entrepreneurs surviving?
Well, I mean, I think that's, look, I think what the tariffs that were announced in April certainly have done is sharpen the focus on localization and shoring up supply chains. I think for a lot of companies, this work started even before April. I mean, coming out of the COVID crisis, there was a massive dislocation in global supply chains. And what we found is it was just taking a lot longer for a lot of companies to get their goods into the country. And that was interrupting their business and making it much harder for them to meet the needs of their customers. And so that started just a, you know, internal strategy around wanting to produce more local. And the work that we've done for Currycraft recently, which listeners might be aware was bought a couple of years ago by the Fashini Group,
yes,
is a really good illustration of how we can get localization going. And I think it's important to focus on these kinds of examples because they're very illustrative. And they give us a good insight into what works, what doesn't work, and also how we can potentially use these examples to scale up into other sectors.
100%. Getting back to the conversation at hand, I see the guidance there, Arshad. Let's talk about Currycraft, right? Because you're quite right. Many of us are familiar with the brand. They sell household furniture and many other items. But we often take for granted where these items are produced. But this is where we're going to use them as a case study to fully understand how LSF has helped to support them. So maybe talk us through, yes, you know, how this has led to 10% growth in productivity, as well as an improvement in efficiency for Currycraft as a business.
Absolutely. So I think the first place it started with is the strategy. And, you know, listeners might be familiar, the Fashini Group has been quite, had a lot of foresight, I should say, in respect of their strategy. So, you know, we'll know them as a clothing retailer, and they own a range of different brands, from the Fashini brand to Bash, which is their online platform. And a couple of years ago, in fact, a few years ago now, they took the strategy of trying to localize more of their manufacturing. And they did that not because they wanted to be good corporate citizens or because they were really proudly South African, not to say that they aren't, but that wasn't the main reason. The main reason is they realized that for them to be more responsive to their customers and to create a more agile supply chain, they had to bring part of their manufacturing closer to the customer so that as trends changed, they'd be able to change with it. Because what was happening previously with the old model of, you know, watching what happens on, you know, trends in Europe, placing your orders in Asia and waiting it to come onto your shelves a couple of months later is, you know, in the interim, South Africans have developed their own trends. We've developed our own way of buying. We don't necessarily follow what's going on in Europe. And so they were buying goods that would just sit on their shelves, and that was really bad for business. And so they moved their manufacturing closer. And this has actually supported a much more agile, as I say, business proposition. So they then bought into a range of furniture brands a couple of years ago, over a number of years. And so they own the At Home brand, they own Volpes, they, yes, own Dial-A-Bid, and of course they own Currycraft. And had you walked into an At Home store just a little over a year ago, every single upholstered seating couch in there would have actually been imported from somewhere else. But they recognized this was actually the wrong strategy for them. It was costly, there were long lead times, and they were also being, you know, exposed to incredibly volatile currency markets. And so We've worked with them over the last year on trying to transform that manufacturing facility that they have in Cape Town under the Currycraft label into a facility that can deliver upholstered seating into each one of those retail outlets. And we are really proud to say that over the last year, we've been able to not only achieve that improvement in productivity that you spoke to, but we've been able to localize about 80 million rands of production. That's 80 million rands that would have previously been imported, that would have previously supported development in other economies like India, China, and elsewhere. Mm. They are now sustaining hundreds of jobs in their facility in Epping in Cape Town.
100%.
But what was amazing for me when I walked through the facility, you know, if you go through into any of these factories, you'll see that before you get a couch as the sort of the roll off of the factory, you've got all of the input material. You've got the upholstery, you've got the leather, you've got your foam and timber and metal profiles. And I started asking the team, where do you guys get this from? And almost all of it was procured from factories across South Africa. You know, timber coming out of Mpumalanga, foam coming out of factories in KZN. All of this is now stimulating not only just job creation in that Currycraft facility in Cape Town, but a ecosystem of jobs across the supply chain. And that for me is the amazing thing and shows the multiplier effect of localization.
Oh man, Ashad, you're tickling my brain cells because I know that economics is one of the fundamentals of your knowledge base. It runs in your blood. And just to see, you know, the outcomes of this being used as a case study and the practicality of it really does see the benefits of focused investment in driving production. And maybe taking it back to economics 101 and factors of production, labor, land, capital, and of course, entrepreneurship. And what I'm witnessing is that it does seem as though they've been very particular efforts, but also a multi-pronged approach to make sure that you streamline the value chain of Currycraft in making sure that from production right down to the customer experience, there's been an improvement in efficiencies. Maybe talk to us about this and perhaps some of the learnings that can be, you know, shared with other businesses that might or might not be in the same sector, but how this then also speaks to the efforts of the LSF to drive increased localization in South Africa.
Absolutely. You know, what we saw in the Currycraft factory is being so common across so many other interventions that we've done. So we've now worked with Currycraft. We've worked with Cape Union Mart in the clothing sector. We've worked with Unilever on localizing some of their supply chain. We've worked in the steel and metal fabrication sector. And so what we're seeing as a common theme and a common thread is that a lot of entrepreneurs have been really good at building up their businesses. And we know what it's like to be an entrepreneur. You're bootstrapping your business along the way. And some of the process of building your business can be quite chaotic. What we've recognized is that there's a real need for, what is called industrial engineering interventions. That's when you send in process engineers and industrial engineers. And what they are good at is looking at a factory, looking at how you move your raw materials through the factory and ultimately create that end product, and trying to understand where are the bottlenecks, where are the inefficiencies, and what are some of the suggestions to make it work. And so, you know, those that have spent any time studying this will be familiar with what's called the five S's. And I'm not an industrial engineer, so I'm not going to pretend to explain all of the five S's. But basically, gotcha. What the ethos behind it is that, you know, there is a place for everything and everything is in its place. And it requires constant monitoring and evaluation so that you can measure what you are producing, how much, what raw material inputs you're using, what human capital inputs you're using, and ultimately, you know, what the cost is. And, you know, the Currycraft team were honest to say that they actually didn't have a good sense of what it cost them to make a sofa. And so it was really then very difficult to price that in the market, because if you don't know what it costs you, you don't really know what to charge your customers. So the first thing that we implemented there was a visualization system that, working with a company called Designy, who are industrial engineers, just so that they could monitor what it is that they were using as raw materials and get a better sense of what the cost is. And there's that old adage that says, if you don't measure it, you can't improve it.
Yep.
And I guess the converse of that is if you do measure it, you give yourself a chance. And so just having measured it, it gave them a chance at understanding where the bottlenecks were. And that's where you began to see that efficiency improvement, that productivity improvement. But it also came with a lot of change management. And this is where I've got to really congratulate the Currycraft team, because, you know, some of our interventions haven't always worked. And Sometimes they don't work because the market moves against you, but sometimes they don't work because there isn't the management acumen to actually embed the learnings that you're providing. And so I think that sort of razor focus on change management was critical. Mm-hmm. And what they've said to us is that it's actually really helped them to motivate employees in the factory. I was there a couple of months ago. There was a real buzz around the place. Mm-hmm. And they're also now implementing a set of incentives for employees, because now they can actually measure productivity a lot better, and they're using it as a motivation tool. So I think there's a lot that we can learn from this Currycraft example, not just in the furniture industry more broadly. And we brought the furniture industry together a couple of weeks ago to share this, and I think there was a lot there. But I think for manufacturing more generally, and we're seeing this. In fact, I was speaking to a company today that have had their exports impacted by the tariffs that you mentioned earlier. Yes. from the United States. And we spoke through the problem, and what they've said is, look, what it means is that their relative competitiveness has now been impeded. The tariffs aren't equal; it's differentiated. So South Africa faces 30%, India might face 50%, but yes. Turkey gets a lower tariff, and so it's meant that our relative competitiveness has weakened. And so we're using these manufacturing interventions also as a way to support some of these companies that are exposed to the United States in just improving their productivity, improving their product, their competitiveness, which will hopefully help them to, just mitigate some of the tariffs. It doesn't mean that they can get away, they'll still have to pay it on the border, but we're just making their costs a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
And hopefully in that way, supporting job creation and saving jobs in the process.
Ashad, what I absolutely love about this particular case study as well, is that it shows us once again that there's been a lot of negativity around manufacturing in South Africa, the power inefficiencies, driving localization. There isn't a great supply chain environment. But the truth is, this is a great example to actually say we can get it right. We just need to have concerted effort on the back of the many economic development plans we have, support structures we have from the private sector also trying to invest. How are you hoping that this perhaps amplifies that the messaging that South Africa is still a solid investment destination, specifically in the manufacturing space?
To quote our former president, it always feels impossible until it's done. And I feel that now we're with the work that we're doing, the various companies that we've supported, we're grateful for management teams that have seen the value and wanted to try and localize. But what it's showing is that these interventions can lead to the type of uplift in productivity, in output, in sales, and ultimately jobs and investment. Across the various companies that we've now supported, we've localized about 160 million rands in annual output. These were 160 million rands of previously imported goods. We're now manufacturing them in South Africa across factories from Cape Town to Centurion to Buffalo City. So I think these really do show that they can be done. Now, it doesn't mean that every single thing can work. And I think what we therefore need to do is to do the research, the critical planning, and create the insights that can help us to understand when does it work, when doesn't it work, and what are some of the strategies that can help us to make localization work for us. Ultimately, this is all in the name of building our industrial base, building our manufacturing outputs. And you started this conversation with such an important insight that this is ultimately about building jobs in South Africa, and we need jobs. And one of the reasons why I've certainly focused my time in this area is that manufacturing has the highest jobs multiplier of any sector in the South African economy. So what does that mean? It means that for every one job that you create in manufacturing, you create four other jobs across the economy, up and down the value chain, in ancillary industries. And, part of the reason why our job growth has been sluggish, many economists will say, is that manufacturing is halted and stalled. And there's good reasons for that. And I think, many South Africans will point to, like you've mentioned, electricity and energy and water and, failure at a local government level. And all of those things are indeed true. But it doesn't mean that just because those things are true, that other things can't be molded in our favor. And we're seeing that through the work that we're doing. And we're really hopeful that, increasingly we're having more and more companies reach out to us for this kind of support. And we're really looking forward to working with them.
onwards and upwards to you and the team at LSF. Really appreciate the fact that you're able to share these kind of case studies with us. And it's also encouraging for entrepreneurs who are out on the field to know that the support is there, the resources are there, the expertise is also available. It just does take a concerted effort to, as you say, shape the environment to suit us for the growth that we desire. Arshad, such a pleasure speaking to you, sir.
As always, thanks, Gugu. So much. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Arshad Kathrada, CEO of the Localization Support Fund, joining us tonight, sharing a very solid example. Next time you walk into Currycraft, even if you log onto their website and you actually notice that they can design bespoke furniture for you, know that the majority of it is sourced in South Africa, proudly so. They've contributed to jobs, contributed to the full value chain, everywhere from where the timber is from, the leather, the cushioning, the material, right down to you actually interacting with someone within their retail store to make sure that your furniture needs or retail needs are met. All of this speaks to the multiplier effect of investing in manufacturing, as we've heard Arshad mention. Share your thoughts, your comments, and your feedback. You're listening to Kaya Biz.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.